This is an iHeart podcast.
Western governments hate their own citizens. We'll talk about that. Things got testy in Congress today, and it was awesome. Julie Kelly's here, Natalie Winters, all that's coming up on I'm Right. There are stories, and then there are overarching stories. Stay with me for a minute. So what's a story? A story is some murderous piece of trash that just got let out of jail in New York City goes and shoots somebody. That's a story. You know, we could sit and talk about that story. What's an overarching story that encompasses that story? Well, George Soros and the communists have figured out that DA positions are critical, and so they're filling up those positions with pro-crime communists in order to cause more violence and destabilize a society. That's an overarching story. But there is maybe the ultimate overarching story happening right now. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. You see it everywhere. And that overarching story is this. Western governments, not just America, although that's what we're going to focus on tonight, Western governments turning against their own citizens. That is the overarching story of the world right now, and you see it everywhere. But first, let's discuss the why. Well, remember, we haven't done this in a while. There are three things all of our elites have in common now. The leaders of every one of our institutions, whether it's government or education or entertainment, it doesn't matter what it is. Three things every single one of them have in common as a late stage republic. One, no love of country. Many of them actually hate the country, but none of them wake up and think about America, not like you do. Two, no connection to the real world. They live their entire lives in this bubble, academia, media, whatever. They don't know what it's like. I got an email yesterday from one of my viewers. We talked about it last night. He had to sell his gun to pay the rent. These people have never experienced something like that. And three, and this is the most important part for our purposes tonight, it's really important people understand this. We view our elected representatives as servants, right? Hey, I picked you. You go there and you fight for me, serve me, do what's best for me. But that's not how they view themselves. The elites who run our institutions, including our elected officials, they see themselves as kings and queens. You see, they rule over us. They don't wake up in the morning ever once and have a servant's heart about you or the things you're going through and things like that in your life. Those thoughts never cross their mind. You're one of the peasants, all right? They are the kings and queens. And kings and queens do as they please with the peasants. Maybe the best example of this, maybe the best, was during COVID. We saw this all over the place. And part of me is glad COVID happened, because so many people started to wake up to how these people see themselves. Remember Nancy Pelosi? Wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. You better wear a mask. And then 5 minutes later, Nancy Pelosi, of course, gets caught on camera with no mask. And she's asked about it. And what'd she do? Well, here's what she did.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years. Many times, as it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Falling for a setup. She's annoyed she even has to be there. Why do I have to answer questions from the peasants? Of course they have to wear masks. The queen doesn't, but the peasants do. Remember Dr. Birx? Remember when she went on TV and told you to stay away from your family for Thanksgiving?
I'm making the personal sacrifices not to infect my parents and my pregnant daughter. I worry about that, because then it gives people the option to say, well, if bars and restaurants are open, then I can have 20 people over for Thanksgiving. And so I don't like it to be any number. I like it to be keep it to your immediate household.
She wrapped up that interview and promptly went and got on a plane and gathered with her extended family for Thanksgiving. Gretchen Whitmer did the same thing. Stay out of Florida, hopped on a plane, went to Florida. Gavin Newsom did it. You remember, maybe the best example was, remember when you couldn't bury your mom or your dad? Maybe you didn't even get to say goodbye in person. The number of emails I still have, I can't throw them away. I can't bring myself to throw them away. The number of emails I have of people saying, Jesse, I had to say goodbye to my mom over a Zoom call. Jesse, I never got to say goodbye to my husband, not in person. Jesse, we weren't allowed to have a funeral for him. Remember, they weren't allowing normal people to have a funeral. And then John Lewis died, and they all gathered together, shoulder to shoulder right there, because of course, well, you know, you peasants, you don't get to have a funeral, you and your peasant mom. The kings and queens do, though. Of course, there are different rules for peasants and for rulers. Obviously, the Gavin Newsom French laundry thing. So let's make this about today. What's happening right now? What's one of the big stories out there right now? Well, Xi Jinping is coming to visit California tomorrow. He's supposed to arrive on Wednesday. And the big story out there right now is that California, the streets of San Francisco that are so full of poop, there's actually, I'm told, I've not downloaded it, I'm told there's actually an app that will track the poop on the streets of San Francisco for you. That's how bad the poop problem is. Human poop, heroin needles and everything. Homeless people everywhere. And they just cleaned it all up for Xi Jinping. And people are starting to raise a fuss because they cleaned it up for Xi Jinping. And Gavin Newsom got up and said this.
Folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true. Anytime you put on an event, by definition, you know, you have people over your house, you're going to clean up the house.
You have people over your house, you got to clean up. But here's the truth of it. If our house was dirty at all times, and the wife only cleaned up when guests were coming over, I might start to assume she prioritized other people over our family. Thankfully, our house is always clean. Why did they clean up for Xi Jinping, but they never cleaned up for you? Why did you have to wear a mask and they didn't have to wear a mask? Why didn't you get to bury your mom and they got to bury their moms? Why? Well, because Western governments are now run by people who think they're kings and queens, and they're against you. Now, why are they so hostile to you? Why are they against you? And this isn't just Democrats, I should note. Republicans are all in on this too. You can check it out right now as Republicans are gathering together this week. You can't afford burger. You can't afford gas. You can't afford electricity. You can't afford food. And Republicans and Democrats are gathering as we speak. And they're discussing how critical it is that we fund the government. Fund the government? That's their discussion? So Democrats and Republicans, why are they actually against you? Why are Western governments against their citizens? Because you value things like freedom. In fact, you don't want the costs in your life to keep going up. So what do you want? You've probably already reached out to your rep. Hey, I don't want you to pass a CR. I don't want you to pass this bill that's going to fund the government. I'm worried about myself and my rent payment. And they're so annoyed by that. They're so aggravated by you. They are busy. The kings and queens, they've all gotten together. They're in one gigantic club, from the tech billionaires to the politicians to the media people to everyone else. They're all get together. They all just strike all these business deals together, mostly with your money, exchanging money back and forth. And they've got this great thing going with parties and everything else and steak dinners and life is good. And they're so freaking aggravated by these peasants. They keep rising up and complaining about it. Of course they'll clean up the streets for a foreign commie piece of Chinese scum, but they won't clean up the streets for you. They care about him more than they care about you. He's lining all their pockets, the Chinese commies. You're not. What are you doing? You're not bribing these people the way China is. You're asking for them to work for you? It's so aggravating. These people, Republican and Democrat, they wake up day after day after day after day, and they are so aggravated by you and your desires and your wants. Why does the king have to bother with the desires of the peasants? And they're all like this. And don't think, well, it's just Democrats. No, 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 no. Republicans passed trillion-dollar bill after trillion-dollar bill after trillion-dollar bill. Republican Congress passing it, Republican president signing off on it every single time. They did it under Trump, they did it under Bush, they did it under Obama, they did it under Clinton, they're doing it now under Joe Biden. They all do the same thing, crapping all over you and your money and your future constantly, and behind closed doors, my goodness, you do not even want to know the way these people get together and discuss you. You're not in charge, not in their minds. Remember, it's not just that you're a constituent, you are a peasant, and frankly, an annoyance. And I want to give a shout out to Senator Chris Coons, who I actually despise, because the way he conducted himself right here with a journalist who dared to ask him questions, I love it. Because this just fits right under that overarching story about what these Western governments think about you.
Senator, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but why not call for a ceasefire in Gaza? I'm a journalist. My name's Aaron Mate. Why not call for a ceasefire in Gaza? You have 4,600 children killed. I know it's a quiet card. I apologize for abuse, but I understand, but children are dying.
Sir, could I please have some help here?
It's
how
right
did
now.
You get this seat?
I bought the seat.
No. He's bothering me while
I'm
trying to do work.
And our government is paying for weapons that are murdering children. Guys, I'm asking him why to call for a ceasefire.
Aaron.
Can you explain that?
Please stop.
Because the fuel is being cut off.
I'm going to have you thrown off this train. I'm a senator.
This is a quiet car.
You're breaking the basic rules of how we operate on Amtrak.
Okay, and the question
please
is...
Please stop.
And I believe we're breaking international law by supporting massacres of civilians. Yes.
You've had a lot of my time. Please move on.
Why not at least call for a ceasefire?
I'm a senator. Now, it doesn't matter what you think of that reporter's line of questioning. You saw what they think. I'm a senator. That's how it goes. You're such an aggravation to these kings and queens who rule over us. All that may have made you uncomfortable. But I am right, and we'll talk to Natalie Winters. She always has juicy stuff for us about the Xi Jinping meeting next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Dogs. We all love them. And when they're mistreated, even if you're not a huge dog person, maybe you don't love them, but when they're mistreated, that's something that just bothers everybody. Why does it bother everybody? Because dogs are such a loving, loyal creature. And these people who just abandon their dogs, just toss them out like they're nothing, it's unbelievable. And the animals, they go to these animal shelters where they'll eventually be killed. The animal shelter only has so much room, they'll kill them eventually. Not Delta Rescue. Delta Rescue runs the world's largest no-kill, care-for-life animal shelter, the largest one in the world. When Delta Rescue gets a hold of that puppy that's been abandoned, that puppy gets a long, healthy, wonderful life. And they only do this with your support. If that sounds like the kind of mission you can get behind, go support them. DeltaRescue.org, all right? DeltaRescue.org. We'll be back.
Hospital in Gaza, Kelly was in.
Gaza. Have you expressed any specific concerns to Israel on that, sir?
Well, I have not been reluctant in expressing my concerns what's going on. And it's my hope and expectation that there will be less intrusive action relative to the hospital.
He's so old. Joining me now, executive editor of The War Room, the great Natalie Winters, investigative journalist. Natalie, every time I see Jill Biden have to hold the president's diapers for him and tell him who to call on and who not to call on, I am, yes, it's funny, but I am reminded that he's the commander-in-chief, and we are just so screwed.
Well, it's really the poster child for the phrase that weakness invites aggression, right? That's what we just saw. But I think with the Biden regime, you have to take it to the next step, because these people are not just incompetent, right? The Democratic establishment, the powers that be that put him up to run, it's not that he suffered such a significant cognitive decline in the last 4 years. He's always been like that, but they wanted someone who projects weakness on a world stage. Frankly, I think coming after someone like Donald Trump, who could really only be described as a strong man, they wanted someone who was weak and frankly brain dead to be able to control. So I think when you're talking about the Biden regime, we need to throw the phrase weakness invites aggression out the window and really come to terms with what we're seeing is intentional weakness inviting aggression on the world stage. And that's why you see the world, I mean, quite literally going up in flames, from Ukraine to our southern border to what's going on in the Middle East, because you have really what is a global alignment of powers who fundamentally detest America, hate our way of life, hate the values we stand for, hate freedom. And they have all converged, they have all collaborated, whether it's the Chinese Communist Party, the sort of UN, World Economic Forum, World Health Organization type people, they've all collaborated, they've all really colluded to, I think, sort of usurp America in the global kind of ranking system. And unfortunately, at the helm, we have someone like Joe Biden, who not only, I would argue, ideologically is in bed with them, if he even has an ideology, but financially is so compromised by them that he couldn't really even put America first if he actually wanted to.
I'm glad you brought that up. Here's Joe Biden talking about his relationship with Xi.
The fact is that I have met with Xi Jinping more than any other world leader has. I've had over 68 hours of private meetings, he and I, with simultaneous interpreters.
I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping when I was vice president and subsequent to that. And he once asked me in the Tibetan Plateau, could I define America for him? And I mean it sincerely, not a joke. I said, yes, one word, possibilities.
I've allegedly met more face-to-face with Xi Jinping than any world leader has.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Okay, Natalie, so the president is meeting with Xi Jinping tomorrow, but the president is compromised by Xi Jinping. His son has done endless amounts of business over there, and of course Joe Biden has done endless amounts of business over there. The United States president is compromised by the communist Chinese. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, you're exactly right, and I think it's a very weird flex coming from Joe Biden to brag about how many private hours of meetings he's held with Xi Jinping, because there almost seems to be a direct correlation where every time Joe Biden comes out of those meetings, Hunter Biden seems to get some very lucrative business deal, if not money wired directly into his bank account, which then, you know, through a couple people and intermediaries, ultimately somehow ends up in Joe Biden's hands. Look no further than back when Joe Biden was vice president. The firm that is BHR Partners was literally created to the tune of $1.5 billion of joint investment between Hunter Biden and the state-owned Bank of China. I think less than 2 weeks after Joe Biden returned from his kind of vice presidential party trip soiree across China, where Hunter Biden joined him at taxpayer expense with Secret Service detailing. So he couldn't even be America first if he wanted to, from the financial compromise. But also, make no mistake, you know, all of the people who are basically staffing the Biden regime, really at the highest levels, whether it's Antony Blinken, people in the State Department, you know, they share similar conflicts of interest with the Chinese Communist Party, from the financial, from the business perspective, if not the ideological perspective. Remember, all of these people have been, whether it's, you know, fellows or lecturers or visiting professors at these universities that take copious amounts of cash from the Chinese Communist Party. They never disclose it. That's sort of a nice, shady little money laundering, information laundering scheme, scam that really, I think, leaves us with so-called experts that, of course, we don't trust, but making policies that if Xi Jinping were, you know, sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue himself, he probably wouldn't veto many of them.
Okay, actually, can you nail on something you were just talking about for a second? Antony Blinken, being as how he is the head of America's State Department, what's his conflict of interest?
Sure. So on the Chinese Communist Party front, it's really interesting. West Exec Advisors, which was his consulting firm that he founded, actually used to work. They've, of course, scrubbed the website, scrubbed all of this information, but used to consult on behalf of universities in America, courting financial investment donations, that's the euphemistic term, from foreign countries, predominantly, you guessed it, China. And one of his clients was actually the University of Pennsylvania. Of course, curious when you have Joe Biden hiding documents, finding classified documents there. And Blinken was also very involved with the Penn-China-Biden Center. But Blinken also, his financial compromise, even if you take away the Chinese Communist Party element, West Exec Advisors, since he departed and, you know, started working in the federal government, has actually been consulting on behalf of a lot of Fortune 500 companies, specifically with regard to how they should approach doing business in Ukraine. And the co-founder, Michelle Flournoy, believe it or not, is actually part of what's called the Kyiv Security Protocol, which is a working group that has written letters and, believe it or not, already called for a multi-decade approach to sending foreign aid to Ukraine. So they're on all sides of the trade. They don't discriminate which countries they take their money from.
Oh, good. Oh, good. It's one big happy family. Speaking of one big happy Ukraine family, Tim Scott is no longer running for president, not that he ever really was, but he did use his final debate performance to pitch for that country he loves so much.
We should make sure that the president of the United States states what is America's national vital interest in Ukraine. It is actually in degrading the Russian military. We've been very effective using our resources and our weaponry and the incredibly high price of Ukrainian blood to achieve that objective.
Natalie, why do Republicans and Democrats love Ukraine so much? And I'm not anti-Ukraine. I don't give a crap really about either of them, if we're being honest. But this endless love for this country almost seems corrupt in some way.
Well, I think you need to look at people like Tim Scott, the Nikki Haley's of the world, really as just empty vessels whose ideology and policies are basically just pay-for-play politics written by the special interests and their large corporate donors. And I think in the case of people like Tim Scott, the Nikki Haley's of the world, if you look at who their largest subsidizers are, whether it's the candidates themselves or their family members, it's big, all these big companies like Raytheon, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, you name it. So the defense industry contractors really, I think, are driving the debate, driving a lot of the discussion about this Ukraine issue. I think you see it firsthand. There's a really shady entity based in D.C. called the U.S.-Ukraine Business Council, which basically acts as a lobbying group, not just for the Ukrainian government, but for businesses doing, business in the country. And what's so interesting, not only of its 100 members, are most of them defense contractors, logistics companies, but there are a lot of people on the board there, including a sitting member of the United States Congress, a Democrat, of course. But I think it just sort of shows you this very uncomfortable intertwining of financial interests on the Ukraine issue, because it's not actually about democracy. It's not actually about freedom. Frankly, I don't really even think it's about Russia. Don't get me wrong, they hate Russia, but I think it really is just about destroying a country, because it's a heck of a lot easier to rebuild and frankly, profit off of the rebuilding of a country, sort of in a Marshall Plan style, I think, tactic. But in order to do that, you have to destroy the country first. So that's why these voices, I think, are so opposed to peace talks, are so opposed to negotiations. And frankly, a lot of the discussion that you hear in the mainstream media, in some cases, there are op-eds being written that quite literally call peace talks counterproductive and negotiating counterproductive. That's a direct quote from, I believe, New York Times op-ed. It's all people who are advising the U.S.-Ukraine Business Council, and they never disclose their conflicts of interest. So,
of course. Of course. Natalie, thank you. Come back soon. Yeah, tell you what. Now you know why. Now you know why I've said over and over and over and over again that we have to make preparations. Because it's not just that we have these evil people we talk about, right? It's that these evil people, they run things. And they'll just print and borrow trillions trillions of your money and just throw it at everything, and it's always coming back to them, right? It's always lining their own pockets with nothing left for you, and we're watching the value of the dollar go down and down and down and down. Do you have gold or silver yet? In your physical possession, do you have it? Do you have it as part of your retirement, your 401k, your IRA? These are not optional things anymore. This is a basic step every normal person should take. Oxford Gold handles all that for you, getting it delivered to your home anonymously and insured. Now, you don't need a bank vault or something like that. Getting it in your 401k, it's not complicated. They handle it all. Just let them handle it all. But take steps to prepare yourself. Nobody in the history of the world has looked at their gold and thought, oh, dang, I've got too much gold, ever. JesseKellyGold.com is where you go, all right? JesseKellyGold.com. We'll be back. Let's talk to Julie Kelly about something. We're not going to let this go. We brought it up the other day. I think it was last night. I think we brought it up the night before. This Gregory Yetman story, it's yet another example of what's happening in your country. Not enough people realize what is happening, how fast it's happening. But thanks to Julie Kelly, they do. Julie Kelly joins us now, declassifies her Substack. Go read all of her stuff if you want to know what's happening at the Cheka. Hey, Julie, who is this dangerous, deranged criminal terrorist the FBI staked out for 3 months?
Yes, so his name is Gregory Yetman, and if you were a neighbor or relative of his, I guess I'm supposed to be sorry, because the government, this Department of Justice and FBI considers him a dangerous terrorist because, of course, Jesse, he was involved in the events of January 6th. Now here, almost 3 years later, despite his cooperation with the FBI on numerous occasions, despite the fact he was not involved in violence in terms of physically confronting a police officer or going inside the building or even damaging property, the FBI has staked this man out for almost 3 years, actually surveilled his home for 3 months. And as Gregory Yetman, a combat veteran a few times over, a former guard at Gitmo, a man with no criminal record, getting up at 7 a.m. to walk outside of his driveway to get in his truck and go to work, is surrounded by dozens of armed FBI agents, SWAT military style vehicles, arrest him for allegedly spraying police with pepper spray on January 6th. He ran into the woods behind his home, and then this extensive armed manhunt, you could see some of the video there, ensued over the next few days before he turned himself in.
Okay, Julie, let's focus on the cameras and the staking out. Now, this is all filmed, the takedown, and they staked him out for 3 months. Isn't the point of staking someone out for 3 months is so you can arrest them in the least confrontational way possible? That's been traditional law enforcement.
Well, it is, and as I said, he is a military veteran, and he has no criminal record. He was cooperating with the FBI. There was no reason to surveil his home at all, except, Jesse, this is part of the FBI and Department of Justice optics about January 6th, juicing the numbers about domestic violent extremists and terrorizing people's neighborhoods, traumatizing neighbors by creating this spectacle at 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekday so all of his neighbors could see what was happening to him. Think of the potential danger here, Jesse. You have children who are walking to the bus stop. You have moms on their way to work or taking their children to school. And you've got these armed thugs who, at the direction of Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray and Joe Biden, are tracking down MAGA terrorists, making a scene in these neighborhoods, deploying drones, deploying helicopters, you could see there, police dogs to hunt this man down, take him into custody, and they finally just released his charges, assaulting police officers for allegedly spraying in their direction pepper spray for about 12 seconds.
Julie, you know the future I see? I see this future, and you and I have had this discussion before. It's awful, but Donald Trump's going to be a convicted felon. They're obviously going to convict him. They're either going to throw him in federal prison or they're going to lock him in Mar-a-Lago and not allow him to leave. And then the FBI, who's been doing this to people, They're going to declare war on everyone who's angry about it. And there are going to be a lot of people angry about it. And all this to me, Julie, it seems like a big setup for the FBI to go blasting away at every one of their right-wing opponents.
I think that that is exactly right. And this is why they're throwing it right in our face, Jesse, is they want everyone to see what happens to individuals like Gregory Yetman. They want these sort of spectacles. They want the vision. They want the video of Donald Trump in handcuffs being hauled off to a DC gulag after he's been railroaded by this FBI and DOJ and thrown in the slammer. And so all of his supporters can see it, knowing that there's absolutely nothing any of us can do about it. Jesse, they are still arresting. Greg Yetman was finally turned himself in last Friday. I'm getting alerts on my phone. This Department of Justice and FBI are still arresting people almost every day. They want to get to this massive caseload. So by the time Donald Trump goes to trial in Washington, D.C. in March, the prosecutors and special counsel Jack Smith can tell the D.C. jury, base jury, who already hates Donald Trump, look, we have 2,000 domestic terrorists who went to the Capitol to overthrow democracy after Donald Trump told them to go there. This is what they're doing. They're assaulting police officers. They were hunting down Nancy Pelosi. They built a gallows. Somebody planted a pipe bomb. Of course, we still don't know who that individual is, but this is the narrative that Jack Smith and DOJ is going to create before this DC jury. And that's why it's probably a certainty, as we've discussed, that Donald Trump will be easily convicted. And then Jack Smith will go to the Democrat-appointed judge, Tanya Chutkan, who's already put a gag order on him, and ask for years in prison, potentially putting him in jail months before Election Day, November of 2024.
You don't have to listen to me. Listen to Julie. Gives it to you straight. Julie, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Jesse. Whew.
Sobering, isn't it? It's a lot to take in. But I continue to talk to normal friends, and I tell them what's coming, and they all look at me like I'm crazy. People don't know what kind of country they live in, right? You know what else people don't know? They don't know the kind of crap that's in their dog's food. Well, I take that back. That's probably the wrong way to put that, because there's nothing in your dog food. Nothing. It's empty calories. Your dog basically eats a fast food double cheeseburger every meal. That's why our dogs here in America die years before dogs in a lot of European countries. Your dog never gets vitamins or minerals or probiotics or anything because we give our dogs dog food. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. You pour it on the dog's food, has everything your dog needs to have a longer, healthier life. But your dog can't have that life unless you make a phone call or go to their website. They're giving out free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Don't lose your puppy before you have to, all right? Give your dog Rough Greens every meal. We'll be back.
No amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
Second Amendment is an absolute, though, like any other amendment is not absolute.
We talk like there's no amendment that's absolute. When the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody can own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon. You couldn't buy a cannon and when amendment was passed.
Everybody thinks somehow the Second Amendment is absolute. You're not allowed to go out and own an automatic weapon. You're not allowed to own a machine gun. You're not allowed to own a flamethrower. You're not allowed to own so many other things.
I own a flamethrower. It's perfectly legal. And it is wild watching the tyrants in this country and how comfortable they are now speaking in that way. Why do you think I've been telling you to prepare for a country turning against you? No amendments absolute. That kind of talk would have got you on trial early in this country. Now, they all talk like this. Joining me now, Mark J. Victor, United States Marine, and for our purposes today, President Managing Partner of Attorneys for Freedom. Mark, it really does floor me, man, the state of our justice system in this country and how much that way of thinking has just gotten ingrained in people. They're just very, very comfortable, Mark, telling me, hey, you don't have rights. What rights? Your rights are whatever I decide they are.
Yeah, Jesse, it's pretty much an outrage. And boy, so many problems in the justice system. I don't even know where to begin. But, you know, I've been practicing 30 years now in the criminal justice system, state courts, federal courts, throughout our entire nation. And I got to tell you, the number one problem, in my view, is that the laws are wrong, right? We still have victimless crimes in the criminal justice system. It's creating a huge overburden of work on both prosecutors and defense lawyers. Instead of focusing on real criminals, you know, people who do bad things to other people to create victims, we're out enforcing morality. And of course, we don't all agree on morality. And of course, that is what bothers us the most about the left, right? They have an idea about how people ought to live. And that's exactly what they're trying to impose on all of us. This needs to end. It's un-American.
Mark, you say you've been doing this for 30 years. Have you seen more changes recently? Everyone's waking up today and they see all the January 6th craziness and the Trump indictments, and everyone's looking around thinking, oh my gosh, my Justice Department has turned against me. Has this happened slowly, or have you been shocked by how fast this has happened?
Well, you know, look, high-profile cases, and I've done lots of them, high-profile cases are always different, right? Because the press is watching, people are watching. But the run-of-the-mill, day-in, day-out justice system hasn't really changed that much. I wish we focused more time on real criminals and less on a bunch of regulatory things. You know, on the federal level, I think probably now if there's been a change, the federal government's a little bit more aggressive on little rinky-dink gun-type crimes, victimless-type crimes. On the other hand, we have a much better Supreme Court now than we have ever had in my entire lifetime. And I know many of your listeners are very concerned about the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment has never been safer than it is right now, notwithstanding Joe Biden's pronouncements, because the Supreme Court, which of course has the power to declare any law unconstitutional, is very solidly 6-3 in the majority a pro Second Amendment. So I feel like we're going to have a huge expansion of gun rights in our country in the coming years.
Talk to me, Mark, real quick about this insurance, because I sure bought it the first time I got a concealed carry permit. It sounded like a good idea. I didn't want to get caught in a bad shoot with my pants down and no legal representation, so I bought it. I've obviously since canceled it, but tell me about this insurance.
Yeah, a lot of people want to buy insurance in the event they get charged with a criminal act. But the problem is there's public policy restrictions on insurance companies for covering people who actually commit crimes or get involved in what we call intentional torts. They just simply can't do it. They're prohibited. So many of these insurance companies say, well, we think it's self-defense. And if it's self-defense because you're presumed innocent, then we can still cover it. However, many of them also say if you take a plea or you're found guilty, understanding over 90% of people in the justice system eventually plead to something, then all benefits end. So you may have some great civil coverage, but you can't use it if you've pled guilty. This is why it's much better to go with a law firm for legal representation rather than an insurance company. We don't have those kinds of restrictions. I know people think they're always going to be in a good shoot, but you don't get to pick the day and time of a self-defense incident, right? You may have been drinking in your house peacefully and some bad guy comes in. You may be sleeping in the middle of the night. You could make a bad decision. And if you do and you screw it up and you actually try to act in self-defense, but you committed a criminal act, and that's normally why you get charged in the first place. You got an insurance company, you may very well have lots of problems. You have a law firm that's staffed with experienced criminal defense lawyers, no problem at all. And that's why we created at our firm the Attorneys on Retainer program.
Mark, to wrap this whole thing up here, if someone is in a bad shoot, a bad incident of some kind, and they have wisely gotten you guys on retainer, you're their first call, right?
It really depends. It's very hard to give general advice that applies to every possible situation. What I like to tell people is, look, if human life is in danger, somebody's going to die, then you got to call 911 first. I think you should be very careful what you say to 911. Essentially, look, there's been a shooting. We need medical attention. Here's the address. Please send help. Goodbye. And then you call the attorney. We staff our line 24/7, 365 with either me or other lawyers standing by. And we're going to tell you, don't make any statements. And of course, make sure you don't present as a threat to the police when they show up. Your main concern at that point is to survive the encounter with the police. So you really got to be very careful. The best advice is to be a responsible gun owner, right? Get some training, make some plans in advance, try to avoid these types of situations so you don't put yourself in jeopardy of being prosecuted. But if you are, better to have a law firm behind you than an insurance company.
No doubt. Mark, Semper Fi, my brother. I appreciate you. Come back. All right. We're not done yet. We had multiple fights. Almost fights break out in Congress today. And everyone's whining about it. I think it's fantastic. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, hey, take that advice. In this day and age, have an attorney. Attorneys for Freedom, it's you. It's for normal people. You know, everyone knows the rich guy has attorneys on retainer, right? Normal people in this day and age with this justice system need one too. Get one, all right? This is for normal people, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Forget that garbage insurance where they can dump you. Go to attorneysonretainer.us. Promo code Jesse gets your money off, so make sure you use that. But go and sign up, all right? Don't wait until you need one to start scrambling for the number. Hold on, let me just watch I'm right first. No, get one now and then stop thinking about it, all right? All right, we'll be back. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And let me just say, I understand that maybe I'm a bad, well, I take that back. I was about to say maybe I'm a bad person. I understand that I'm a bad person. And I understand that I look at things maybe in a way that is old-fashioned, definitely different than most people. But a couple things happened today in Congress, and I think it's fantastic. People have been whining about it all day long, and I think it's fantastic. First of all, Congressman Tim Burchett, well, here it was.
Explain to us what happened with you and Kevin McCarthy.
Well, I was doing an interview with Claudia from NPR, a lovely lady, in which she was asking me a question. And at that time, I got elbowed in the back. And it kind of caught me off guard because it was a clean shot to the kidneys. And I turned back, and there was Kevin. And I for a minute, I was kind of, what the heck just happened? And then I chased after him, of course. He's as I've stated many times, he's a bully with $17 million and a security detail. You know, he's the type of guy that when you're a kid would throw a rock over the fence and run home and hide behind his mama's skirt. And he just, you know, from behind, that kind of stuff. It, you know, that's not the way we handle things in East Tennessee. We if we have a problem with somebody, I'm going to look them in the eye and talk to them.
Okay. That was that. Oh, you didn't think that was all, did you? It's been a feisty day. Oklahoma Senator Mullen and a labor leader, Sean O'Brien, this labor leader, Sean O'Brien, well, they about went fisticuffs in the Senate.
The Tough Guy Act and these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, anytime, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every poll?
No, sit down. Sit down.
Okay.
You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
All right.
Can I respond?
Hold it.
Okay, now, I realize that at this point in time, maybe you're sitting there rolling your eyes, maybe you're snickering at all these things, and it seems very immature. And okay, maybe I'll even give you that. Maybe it's a bit immature. But Congress used to run like this all the time. We're seeing all this on camera now, but these guys, there's multiple examples throughout U.S. history about these guys beating each other up. One guy almost beat another guy to death with a cane. They used to duel with each other. And you can say that was a barbaric time, But Congress ran a whole lot better back then. And why did Congress run better back then? Let me explain why. Congress, and in fact society as a whole, runs better when men understand there can be potentially physical consequences for running your mouth reckless. This country and Congress ran better when you understood you might be spitting out your teeth if you don't watch your mouth. You can say that's mean and barbaric. That's fine. That's a fact. This country was a better place back then. All right? All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.